welcome into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice for all your dental or sleep apnea needs. Visit KellyERice.com. Preds Insiders every Monday night here on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 6 to 7 p.m. Robbie Stanley here as always as your host. We've got a lot to get into today. NHL trade deadline day here today in the National Hockey League. The Predators making some moves and one move they did not make. We'll get into all that coming up later in the show. I am joined by my good friend Jeremy K. Gover today here on the program. We're going to break it all down for you. Jeremy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Robbie, sir, how are you, man?
I'm great. I appreciate you taking time to be with us tonight. So
you know what? I appreciate you asking me.
We will we'll get to the Philip Forsberg part of this in just a few minutes because I am very interested to hear your thoughts on what has gone on, or I guess in this case, has not gone on with Philip Forsberg to this point. He has not been traded, and he has not been signed to a contract. So we'll get into that here in just a few minutes. Let's just start with a 30,000-foot view, Jeremy Gover, of the deadline for the Predators. They make some minor moves is probably how I would put it. They go and add a veteran defenseman, Jeremy Lauzon, who will make his debut for the Predators tonight. They give up a second-round pick in order to bring him in. He is a restricted free agent, which means the Predators could sign him to another contract after this year, but it looks like he will make his debut for the Preds tonight as they take on the Anaheim Ducks. By the way, puck drop at 9 o'clock, pregame at 8 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A couple other minor moves made as well. Alex Biega brought in and Freddie Lahr traded away to LA today as well for a minor league depth forward as well. So just not a ton of moves made from the Predators, not many high-impact moves made from the Predators. Your thoughts on the deadline as a whole for David Poile and the Predators front office?
So I have mixed feelings about this, Robbie, okay? So the first thing and how this all hits me in a vacuum is that the Predators seem to shore up the Milwaukee Admirals and their depth there at that level in order to kind of allow themselves some flexibility for injuries or whatever it may be down the stretch here when they can't do anything else. They only have one place to go, and that's Milwaukee, right? So so in that regard, they did a great job. Now, I've made no secret since training camp that by the trade deadline, Philip Forsberg either had to be traded for a king's ransom or signed. And neither one of those things happened today. So on my priority list for the Preds today, coming into the day, in order, it was number one, sign or trade Philip Forsberg. Two, shore up your third defense pair. And three, maybe, you know, add a scoring touch, preferably, a Phil Kessel, you know, somebody like that. I threw a Patrick Laine just on a total pipe dream whim earlier just for conversation sake. Just some scoring, a scoring winger, okay? That was my shopping list, if you will, for the Preds. Now, you know, I understand that there's cap concerns of other teams, and there's a bunch of different things involved. But all things being equal, those were my three things. They only did one of those today, albeit it was a good one, and they addressed the third pair. And I say that because if Borowiecki and Matt Benning, who have proved themselves, I believe you'd agree with this, Robbie, they've proven themselves to be a pretty solid third pair. Again, they're not going to blow anybody away, but you know they're reliable, right? How many years have we sat here, or in the press box or on these shows or whatever, and said if they could only address the third D pair? Because Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber, it must be Matt. That was the third pairing, was Matt Weber. Matt Irwin and, yeah, and Yannick Weber, you know, like that's not good enough. And how do they address that? And then, I mean, we've sat here for years talking about how the third pairing is a liability when they're on the ice. And the problem with that is, you know, on a game-in, game-out basis, that's fine. You just ride your big horses, right? In this particular case, it'd be Josi and Carrier and Ekholm and Fabro. That's what you would ride, okay? But in the playoffs, when it's so grueling, and there's a game every other night, and you're hoping to go for 2 months, guess what you can't have? You can't have an overload of your best players. They have to be at the pace themselves to a degree. And so you can't trot them out there for 30 minutes each and then have your third pair only there for emergencies, right? So they addressed that today, seemingly. But I would just say that the majority of the moves today focused around Milwaukee. And I think that was, in and of itself, disappointing is probably a wrong word because it's all about expectations, but they didn't complete my shopping list.
Preds acquired Braden Burke from the LA Kings in exchange for Freddie Allard, too. So kind of a minor league move made there. Also had Kondalik sign a contract today as well, 2-year in entry-level contract. So we'll see what happens with him. I would assume at some point he's going to end up in Milwaukee in the next couple of weeks. So we'll see what happens on that front. You know, it wasn't an overly active day in terms of the moves made by the Predators. You know, Biega, I think, is going to be, you know, a minor league defenseman as well, coming in over from Toronto. Anytime you're traded for future considerations, that's always my favorite trade in sports, is future considerations. It's amazing. Love that stuff. You have Jeremy Davies up right now. You've got Matt Tennyson up right now. Jeremy Lauzon going to make his debut tonight for the Predators. I would assume at this point that Matt Benning is not really all that close at the moment. It sounds like Mark Borowiecki might be close. So we'll see what happens on that front. Matthias Ekholm will be out tonight with an illness as well. So you're going to need defensive depth coming down the stretch. I'll be honest with you, Jeremy. I didn't like the second round pick that they gave up in order to acquire Lauzon. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm overly familiar with his game. I've seen him play a couple of times. Obviously, he's played in 53 games with the Kraken this year. He's 24 years old. He'll be 25 here in a few weeks. Do I think this could ultimately be something that benefits the Predators? Yes, I do. Based on not having watched him play all that much, I can go by the information I have available to me, and that is the analytics and what happens on the ice when he's out there. And it's not good. I'll throw it out there. So, you know, I don't know if his long-term, you know, destination here is going to be a top four defenseman. If it is, I can swallow that second rounder much more easily. My guess is it's going to be more of a depth guy, third pair defenseman, maybe even a healthy scratch on some occasions. Like, to me, to your point, Lozon's going to have to come in and play pretty well to steal a permanent spot from Borowiecki and Benning if everybody's healthy. That's just the way I view this. So I did not love the price of the second round pick, but I do like that they added to their defensive depth.
I think the second round pick, I don't like it either, by the way, but I think it was a necessary evil. And when I say that, I mean, like, you know, if you look at Ricard Raquel, he fetched a second round pick of, yep, like a roster player and a prospect. And you're like, why couldn't the Preds swing that deal? Like, I'd much rather have, I mean, can you imagine a 30 goal scorer's game with, you know, I mean, you start going over all those things, but then you're like, well, maybe it was interconference, and so they didn't want to do that. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons they wouldn't make that trade. But when you look at, okay, you got this defenseman for a second-round pick, and you're thinking, that's a little high, right? But maybe that's the necessary evil to not have Ben Harper and Philip Myers out there as your third D pair, you know? And if that's the case, I'm all for this, because I have to assume, obviously, that this guy's better just on paper. Now, the analytics, you're right, they're not in his favor, but I'm willing to cut him some slack in the sense that he's on an expansion team that did not do well.
He did play for the Kraken.
Yeah, right. So there is that. Now, again, analytics are supposed to take care of those things. They're supposed to kind of factor all that in. So it is what it is. But for me, I'm going to give him a wait-and-see approach. I don't like the price. You're right. But at the end of the day, he's better than those two guys, at least in theory. And so, therefore, you know, are you ready? If you're the Predators, you have to think this way, okay? If we had to trot out Harper and Myers as our third D pair in the playoffs, would you feel comfortable doing that? The answer, of course, is no.
Yep.
Okay. So then you go to, well, who do we have in house? All right. Well, we got Jeremy Davies and we got Matt Tennyson. Tennyson's played okay, but he's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna blow you away. Davies has promise for the future, but not necessarily right now. So are you comfortable with them? The answer is probably no. For a playoff now, not for a game in March, for a playoff. And so I think you kind of look outside, and if you like this guy for whatever reason, and the second round pick is your price, I mean, again, I'm not thrilled, but okay, as long as it's a better option and shores up that third D pair, I'm okay with it.
It's one of those things too, where I kind of had a feeling coming into this period here, the Predators weren't going to do much. Again, we'll get into the Forsberg thing here in just a few minutes, but I didn't expect David Poile to just be running around spending assets left and right today. I mean, we saw Minnesota go out and add Marc-Andre Fleury. St. Louis made a big move. Obviously, Colorado is beyond all in at this point with the team that they have. So we knew that it would be an active day across the Western Conference. I didn't expect the Predators to get into that mix. I am interested, though, like as the team said, like, this is their team as they move forward here. This is going to be what it is as they move forward here. Like, I kind of like the spot that they're in. I really do. I like this. I like where they are in the standings. I like the way they're playing right now. And I think there have been times in the past where maybe David Poile has messed with things when he shouldn't have. and it has come back to bite the Predators. Like, maybe the example I think of immediately was Peter Laviolette's first season. They were humming along, playing really well, and you go out and you get Mike Santarelli and Cody Franzen, and I'm not saying that those two guys derailed everything, but the record was what it was after those trades. It wasn't good, and then they're out in the first round. So it's not an exact science. There's different ways to go about handling it, but I'm not surprised that David Poile wasn't really overly active today, and I like where the Predators sit right now.
So I'll agree with you and just say that some fans on Twitter right now are all about how, like, he never does anything that moves the needle and blah, blah, blah. There have been times where he's done that. And the problem is it hasn't worked out necessarily. Now, there's obviously other times, like when they went to the Stanley Cup final, for example, he went out and got Cody McLeod again and Vern Fiddler. I mean, you know, there's little fringe moves that he's done that's like, okay, sure, maybe that put him over the top, whatever. But all things being equal, when he's gone for it, air quotes for radio, it hasn't always worked out. And so, to me, you're right. It's interesting to see him do almost nothing and see what happens with this group. You know, it's so interesting because I know I had my grocery list, and they only checked off one of those things instead of the three, but I can live with that if this team continues to hum along. My biggest fear, and maybe I'm just, you know, I'm jumping ahead of the show here, Robbie, but my biggest fear is that Forsberg and all the other guys are going to be hounded by questions now about Forsberg's status for the next 2 months when they need to focus on hockey. Now, they're professional athletes, are going to focus on hockey, but it's just an annoyance, right? And so that is the biggest thing for me, is that can they focus enough to get the job done, get into the playoffs in that second or third slot in the Central Division? Because let's face it, you want to avoid Colorado, right, in the first round, and the only way you really do that is if you lock in the second or third slot in the Central Division. So that's the goal right now, is to get one of those two spaces in the Western Conference playoffs and take your chances. Because I love the travel aspect of both of those teams, St. Louis and Minnesota. It's not very far, right? And then the second part of it is neither one of those two teams really scare me.
Yeah,
both of those teams can win. I'm not saying that, but I like the Predators' chances against both of them. So that's where you want to stay, second or third.
We're off and running here today on Preds Insiders. Robbie Stanley alongside Jeremy Keg over here with you on this Monday night in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking NHL trade deadline, we'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Philip Forsberg aspect of this story. How much pressure is now on David Poile to get a deal done with Philip Forsberg before free agency begins? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are not Robbie and Rex Road. We are Preds Insiders. Robbie Stanley alongside Jeremy K. Gopher here with you on this Monday evening in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to the NHL trade deadline day. The deadline has come and gone for the Nashville Predators. And Jeremy K. Gover, Philip Forsberg, still a member of the Nashville Predators. He has not been traded, and he has not been signed at this point to a contract extension. Now, David Poile did speak and address the media earlier today after the deadline had passed. It sounded like, from what David Poile was talking about, that he at least thought that he was in a good spot in terms of negotiations and felt confident that eventually Philip Forsberg will be signed. However, he is not as of today. So what are your thoughts on Philip Forsberg still being a member of this team, not having signed a contract extension, and not having being traded either as they take on Anaheim tonight?
I think that's another loaded question there, Robbie. Well, first of all, I've made no secret about this. I might as well own it and lean into it. I think it's a huge mistake. Now, of course, we only have half the puzzle, right? We know that he was not traded. The other half could be the offers weren't what we think they would be. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different things that can go into this. But all things being equal, it's a huge mistake to not trade him or sign him. Now, I understand that they got to play this game and a weight game, and somebody's got to call each other's bluff and all that stuff. But I think this gives them, meaning the Forsberg camp, it gives them all the cards, okay? They had all the cards to begin with. The only thing the Predators really have, for those who are wondering, the only leverage they really have is that eighth year. He can't, if he goes to free agency this summer, he can only get 7 from whatever team offers him a contract. The Predators can give him 8. I don't think that's such a big deal. I mean, obviously, if you're a Forsberg, you want the 8th, of course. But I mean, just I don't think that that's a make or break thing. I think he's willing to wait it out and pull down 10 to 10.5 million from somebody, as opposed to signing, let's say, with Nashville for 9 now. I think he's willing to wait the $1.5 million or whatever per year. I think a deal does get done eventually, but this is, we're in some serious gray area right now, or in the red, actually. Because, yes, you have your one of your best players. There's no question about that. They are a better team with Forsberg on the roster, of course. No one's going to debate that. But if this turns into another Ryan Suter situation where they're like, no, we're going to, you know, we're a better team with him. We're going to keep him through the stretch run and the playoffs, and we've really got a chance with him. And then July comes around or whatever the actual maybe updated date is. And then he goes somewhere else and they lose him for nothing. Or they flip him for, like they did Dan Hamhuis back in like 2011, whatever, for like a 6th round pick or something. That's not good enough when they could have set themselves up for success into the future. So it's a double-edged sword. I don't envy David Poile at all. And I'm not even necessarily criticizing him necessarily. I'm just saying that it's a huge mistake to not have one or the other done by this point. Because now it's going to drag on. Now Forsberg has zero reason to hit the urgent button. They could easily be like, yeah, you know what, we're not going to talk about it until after the season's over. And then what do you do, right? So it's dangerous, Robbie. It's dangerous.
It is dangerous. I'm not as bothered by it as I think most people are. And maybe that's just, you know, ignorance on my part. But, like, I am pretty confident a deal is going to get done at some point between Forsberg and the Predators. I do think he wants to be here. I think the 8th year is a big deal at the end of the year, at the end of the day, because I think it allows the Predators to offer more money when you break it down. I mean, if you're offering let's say it's 8 by 9, if you're the Predators, so 8 years for $9 million a year, that's $72 million. I mean, somebody on the open market has to go over $10 million a year for 7 years. And I could be wrong. I don't think Philip Forsberg's getting $10 million on the open market.
Come on now.
Well, Thomas Hertl just signed for 8. I don't think there's any way Philip Forsberg's getting $10 million.
No, come on. Robbie.
I would be blown away. Why? Who is Robbie making $10 million that you think is comparable to Philip Forsberg?
That is the sticking point that people are forgetting. I'm not saying you're forgetting this. I'm just saying that a lot of people are like, oh, $10 million, no way. First of all, it only takes one team to say, okay, we're going to pay this guy $10 million. Second of all, okay, this is a guy who's coming off a career year, and we've all said, he has the capability of being an 80-point player in this league. We've all said that at different points of his career, but he's always a little, you know, nagging hurt, whatever it is, right? And on top of that, and here's the biggest one, everyone signs a contract in their window of opportunity, whatever the market dictates. So Yossi goes and gets 9.059, and that's good. Great for him. He deserves that. He's a Norris Trophy winner, hopefully should win another one this year. Okay, that's great. But he's not re-upping his contract this summer where he would be getting paid 10 or 10.5. He did it in the market. So my point is, if Forsberg hits the market, and I'm just making this team up, this is the example I've told Milwaukee Radio and others, if Arizona, who's losing like 95% of their roster after this, you know, the summer, right? If that they room. Say, look, we got money to blow. We're going to jump. We have all these draft picks we're going to put into the lineup, and we want Forsberg to be, you know, we want him to kickstart this, because he's relatively young, right? So let's kickstart our rebuild, and we're going to bring in Philip Forsberg, a proven guy, and we're going to offer him $10 million. Well, I'm not saying Forsberg's going to go there, but he could at $10 million. So it only takes one. It's not like there's going to be this huge bidding war, and it's going to get him over 10. I'm simply saying that he could get 10 in the open market, and I would not be shocked to see it.
I think there's a 0% chance he gets $10 million on the open market.
Then that must be where the confidence level from you comes from, and then the pessimistic view from me. I didn't like the fact that they did not sign him before the deadline or trade him, simply because I feel like, well, now he has all the cards. He can go to the free agency and see what he wants to do. You are saying you're confident that he's going to come back, and therefore you're more at ease. So I think that's where the paradigm is. The gap in the opinions kind of rests.
Sure. Well, and look, I very well could be wrong. I you know, just the read I have on the situation is, I think he wants to be here. I think David Poile, based on the comments he had today, I think he's confident that they can get a deal done. Now, you know, we've seen general managers get fooled before. And look, the closer you get to free agency, the more dangerous this becomes. You know, there are all sorts of people that I think have good intentions of coming back that sometimes don't. Like Freddie Freeman in baseball, it's a totally different sport. I get the
it, great it's example. Sport.
Like he obviously, I think, wanted to be on the Braves. But when negotiations get in the way, sometimes things happen and you got to go to plan B. So if Philip Forsberg gets to free agency, maybe there is a team out there that presents him with an offer that he just can't refuse. I just have a hard time imagining in a flat cap era where not many teams have cap space to begin with. I got a hard time imagining somebody going up to 10, but maybe they do. I mean, if you really want Philip Forsberg, maybe that's what it takes. I'm interested to see, like, are they going to continue to work on this contract throughout the rest of the regular season? Because, you know, David Poile kind of talked about working on it quietly today. I don't really know
what that means. I don't buy that at all.
You know, like, I don't know what that means. So, or is David Poile – I'm sure David Poile wants to, but is Forsberg's agency, like, are they going to continue to have discussions in the middle of the season, or is it going to be like, hey, let's just table this thing until – after the season, which again, like, you still would have plenty of time after the season, you know, barring a Stanley Cup run for the Predators to figure stuff like that out. But that's when I would start to get pretty nervous if I was a Predators fan, if they're just like, yeah, you know what, we're just going to table this till after the year's done.
Why shouldn't they say that? Even if it's a negotiating tactic, they should go to Poile and be like, hey, we're not going to talk about this till the season's over. Because all they're doing is kicking the can down the road, and they have the ability to do that. They can do whatever they want. The Preds can't do anything but offer them a number.
They do, but it's also, at the end of the day, if he really does want to be here, I think there needs to be some wiggle room on his agent's part, and I think his agent knows that. Like, to me, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but, like, if David Poile was this adamant, it basically sounded like they never even seriously considered trading him based on the comments he had today. Like, if he's that adamant about it, like, to me, there must be at least some willingness on both sides that this is – they feel pretty good about this getting done.
That's all great. But it's not, you know, but it's – but until he's actually signed, it's – you know, or until the agent is like, look – we want to know movement. That's what it's down to. And Poile's like, well, you know I have to give you one, but I only want to do the first 4 years. If that's a sticking point, that's close enough to bridge the gap at some point. I'm okay with that. But from the constant reports of they're far off, and I don't know what that means. Again, that could be no movement versus I want a full no move. It could be $2 million. It could be 8 versus 5 because of the injury. It could be anything. But they're not close is what the reports are out there, various reports. And so I just, if you're Forsberg's camp, how are you not saying, again, even if it's a negotiating tactic, how are you not saying, hey, we appreciate your attempt to do it quietly, which, side note, Gover here doesn't, that's bull, but that's a whole other topic for another day. But if Forsberg's camp, and you're like, okay, I appreciate you want to do it quietly, and that's great and all, but we're not going to talk about this till the season's over, so call us when that happens. Now you're turning up the heat even more on David Poile, because now they can't trade him. They're stuck with him. And again, it's a hell of a negotiating tactic, Robbie. I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
I mean, it is, but I don't know why they would just all of a sudden – I mean, they've been talking for weeks and months at this point. I don't know why you all of a sudden just stop talking if you're the other side. Hey,
when you are negotiating anything, you'll try anything in your back pocket. And this, now that he has not been traded, and now that they're stuck with him, there's a finality, at least to the 2021-22 season, but they can pull this out. They can pull this out now. And be like, okay, great. We're going to talk about this after the season's over. It's just one more trick in their book that they can use.
We'll continue the conversation on the Philip Forsberg situation. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Jeremy K. Gover here with you on this Monday evening in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. George texting in. He's got a long one, so I'm going to read it. Says, I doubt Poyle's flexibility comment has much to do with whether to include trade protection in Forsberg's extension as it does with how much term and or annual average value that trade protection should buy. Almost half the total salary cap is already tied up in five roster players with Duchesne, Johansson, Granlund, Josi, and Ekholm. Several key cogs are coming up for new deals in the next couple of years. Whether it's 8, 9, or 10 million, now you're talking about having well more than half of your total budget tied up in only six roster players. Yes, Poyle has historically been stingy with trade protection, but if Duchesne got it, you can bet that Forsberg deserves it and will get it. So again, I'm betting the flexibility talk is less about whether to include trade protection than it is about how much term and or AAV that trade protection should buy to minimize the team's obligation to one player and gives themselves more of a budget as they move forward. So what do you think of that?
Well, George should be on the show because that was quite a mouthful. I don't. Here's the problem, okay? And it's you know, robbing Peter to, you know, steal whatever the phrase is.
PayPal.
When Ryan Ellis wanted his no move, and the Preds said no, and Ellis's camp caved and said, okay, well, we want to be here, so whatever. And then he got traded. I think you can't tell me that Forsberg didn't notice that, right? And then same thing with Arvidsson. Now, I don't know if Arvidsson ever said, I want a no movement clause. He's probably just thrilled to have an NHL contract of that size because he kind of came from nothing, you know?
Yeah.
But all things being equal, he didn't get a no move either, and he got shipped out. So I guess my point is that for me, it's a given that Forsberg next contract will be almost a complete no move, if not a complete no move. So that's just something that Poyle has avoided for years, and I hear that argument. I'm the one who made it, like, 5, 6, 7 years ago. You know, was like, oh, he's just so great at that. That time is over. He can't kick that can down the road anymore. He's gonna have to give it. So I agree that that's not the sticking point. I was just simply saying as an example when they say we're not, you know, we're far away. The report was we're far away. I was making that just as an example. If it's not always about money and term, it could be about that. It probably isn't, but it's just an example.
Well, and I'm sure that, you know, I haven't talked to Forsberg, obviously, or his agent about the specifics of the contract negotiations. But if I'm Philip Forsberg and I've just watched Victor Arvidsson get traded away, which he made his comments pretty public on that, his displeasure on that, and Ryan Ellis get traded away, regardless of how it's worked out, because it's worked out well for the Predators without both of those guys this year. Like, if I'm Forsberg, I don't want to be traded 4 years into my deal. Like,
agreed.
I'm not doing that. So,
let me build off that for 1 second for the listeners. So, you're like, well, would that be the worst thing that you got traded? First of all, what a player wants is they want security over their future. Okay.
Sure.
So, a no movement clause, you need to understand. Yes, of course, nobody wants to get traded, but that gives the players a say. Right? Like, we just heard Marc-Andre Fleury went from Chicago to Minnesota. Apparently, they've been working on it for a few days. That's according to reports. And he said he'd be willing to trade, or willing to accept the trade to Minnesota because he believes they're a true contender. Now, then whoever, I can't remember if it was Drager or whoever said it, their last sentence of the tweet was, his list was very, very short.
Yeah.
Now, what that does is, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't want to be traded. He wants to go to a winner, but he doesn't want to be traded because it uproots his family and all that stuff. But it gives the player a say on where they go. So if you're thinking like, well, you know, Forsberg could go to a contender in 3 or 4 years and the Preds are tanking or whatever, that's fine in theory. But he wants to be able to say, I'm not playing in Columbus. That place is a dump, or, you know, whatever his opinion is. I'm just saying, right? It gives him control over his future, and that's what he wants.
Well, I think the Claude Giroux scenario is kind of the perfect example, right? Like, he had a full no movement clause and he got to hand select his destination, which was Florida.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's not all about just not being traded. It's also giving you protection down the road where if you are going to be traded and maybe you even want to be traded, you know where to go in that situation. So I would assume that that's going to be at least part of the discussion for Philip Forsberg. I'd be pretty surprised if it wasn't. And I think that David Poyle realistically deep down probably knows he's going to have to give him at least some version of trade protection. I don't know if he's going to get full trade protection, although I think he probably will, but at least some version.
I agree. And the other thing I'll say too is it's all about freedom to the player, right? A player's rights are a player's rights. They can't just choose to go anywhere else. So when they're under contract. So my point is that David Beauclair mentioned this on Robbie and Rexroad. I think when you were out, Robbie, I don't think it was when Rexroad was out. I think it was when you were out. Beauclair came in to co-host, and he said something I hadn't thought of, and that was that Forsberg may just want a chance to choose. Because he got drafted by Washington. I'm paraphrasing everything Beauclair said here. He got drafted by Washington, didn't choose that. He then got traded to Nashville. It's worked out just fine, but he didn't choose that either. Now he's finally in a position to where he can have... He can literally, you guys, go to all 32 teams when free agency hits. Now, some would have to pay him the league minimum to get under the cap, but he could choose. He could choose all 32 teams. No, none of the 32 teams are going to say no to Philip Forsberg, depending on the price. So, that being said, he may just want the opportunity to choose. He may come back to Nashville, but he wants the opportunity to say, I'm going to choose where I want to go. I'm going to choose where I want to spend the next 8 years. And if that's the case, that's where the no movement clause comes in. Same family of idea, right? He may say, okay, I do want to be in Nashville, but I want control over where they ship me, if they ever ship me anywhere. So it all comes down to control.
Got a texter that says, it's Suter all over again, and if it happens like Suter, it's on the player more than the GM, in my opinion. If you want to test the market, man up and say so. Don't go on about your love of the city and fans like Suter did. Millionaires arguing over money and paying lip service to the fans is pretty disgusting. You know,
all right.
I've heard a lot of people throw this out to the Ryan Suter situation. I guess I remember the Ryan Suter situation very differently. To me, it was a 0% shock that Ryan Suter left. I don't know what he told David Poile behind the scenes. I know I was covering the team then. He never said anything but publicly about re-signing with the Predators, ever. So, like, I don't know where all that stuff is coming from. Like, I don't know what he said to David Poile specifically in negotiations behind the scenes, but we had no – there was no reason when the Predators lost in the playoffs in 2012, the Coyotes, there was no reason in my mind to think that he was for sure coming back to the Predators.
Okay, well, I'll give you the real quick scenario. You'll remember this once I say it. Robbie, Poile, when Suter signed in Minnesota for his big deal, Poile addressed the media and said, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, I have the notes from our meeting. He said he would resign here. He said we would get a second shot to match whatever offer. He said he wanted to stay. He said, and Poile does not throw players under the bus. He protects them, if anything. And here he was saying, he said this. I have the notes to prove it. He said this. His agent said this. We just met recently, and they said this. I don't understand why he made this move. That's where the anger comes from. You're right. I was covering the team then as well. As you remember, we sat next to each other for those years. And he never said, like, oh yeah, I'm coming back, or you know, whatever. But it was Poile who, so out of character, recounted his meetings with the agent and with Suter himself and said that he'd said these things. So for some people, I might be like, well, of course he's going to say he's the GM. But you need to understand it's out of character. He's not Tortorella, who's just willing to just come on here and blast his starting right wing because he's not skating fast enough. Like, Poile protects his guys. And he doesn't want to talk about other teams' players. And like, all this stuff, very respectful and calculated. And so for him to come out and say that, go on some three-minute tirade, basically, about how he can't believe this happened because of this, 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 and this, that... it causes your ears to perk up, and I think that's where the anger comes from.
John in Thompson Station on the text line says, if Forsberg sustains an injury this season like Landeskog's, how would that impact the value of his new contract? If he wants to stay with the Preds, it seems like it's in his best interest to sign soon in case he's injured. I mean, you could view it that way. I would imagine the way that Philip Forsberg is viewing it right now, that just think about how much money I could make when I score 45 goals this year, which he might do at the end of the year.
That's right. If you're a player, you can't. If you're an athlete, like, I'm going to play for the Mighty Drunks tonight, and I'm 44 years old and overweight, okay? I'm not playing for millions of dollars or even hundreds of dollars for that matter. I'm actually paying to play. And even I, when I take the ice, I can't think, oh, I better not get hurt because I have an activity I have to do on Thursday for work. Or like, you can't think that way. You have to go play. So if you're Forsberg, you're thinking, look, team's flying right now. I'm going to crush this goal record here pretty soon. And, you know, like, everything's going great. He can't be taking the ice and be like, well, if I get hurt, I won't get that contract. Bull. Somebody will step up and pay him at least $8 or $9 million a year. So whether he gets hurt or not,
he's going to get paid.
That's right. So that's not a concern to me.
No, like, I think he's going to get paid. Now, I will say, like, if I'm a Predators fan, you look back through his history, I mean, injuries the last few years have been a problem. He's missed, you know, a little bit of time this year with injuries/COVID. So it's not been as big of a deal. this year, but injuries have been something to think about. So I wonder now, how is that factored into the discussions? I mean, there's so many different things, and that's why, like, you know, I was trying to just drive this point home with fans earlier today. Like, there's so many different things that go into contract negotiations. Like, we can nerd it out and talk about state income tax if you want. Like, there's so many different things that go into it that sometimes it just takes time. And sometimes it's not as black and white as we would all like it to be. Now, having said that, like, sometimes maybe it's not all that complicated and players string teams along. That, I mean, that happens a lot too. So I don't think that's the case with Forsberg, but we're going to find out. I mean, it's certainly, I understand if you're a Predators fan out there today and you are very nervous that he's not signed to a contract right now, I get it. Because if you lose him for nothing, like if you get through this playoff run here and they get put out in the first round or second round or whatever happens short of like a Stanley Cup run and Philip Forsberg leaves, that's going to be a pretty tough pill to swallow. So I get it from that standpoint.
It is. Let me just, for those who can't look at the stats right now, these are the games he's played as a full-time NHLer. Okay, so I'm not counting the five-game rookie season and all that. So in 2014-15, that's where I'll start. 82 games. Then the injuries started happening. 67 games, 64 games, 63 games. Then last year was COVID and whatever. And now, again, he missed a handful of games this year. My point, though, Robbie, and to counter your point, I think, even though I do give it its due, is that he hasn't had these, like, ridiculous, like a leg injury that's kept him out for 4 months. These are all nagging-ish injuries.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to sign this guy and get 60 points out of him a season, like almost guaranteed, I don't think you care about missing 15 games. You don't want him to, but I don't think that is high on your priority list is him missing 15, 20 games a year. I think you'll take that.
I agree. We'll continue the discussion coming up next. More of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Second final segment here on the evening of Preds Insiders. Robbie Stanley alongside Jeremy K. Gober here with you on this Monday evening in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Philip Forsberg and the Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeremy, there is one part of this that has been fascinating to me over the last few weeks when we're discussing Philip Forsberg and what his future contract can look like. Like there appears to be, at least from a portion of Predators fan base, and I understand why, because you look at some of the contracts that have been handed out in the past, and some of them have not worked out, although some of them are starting to look better this year with the way that they're playing. but I think there's a hesitation with some Predators fans to hand out long-term deals, be that 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, whatever. So, I've seen everything floated out there from I would give Philip Forsberg an 8-year, $85 million contract and just throw every amount of money at him you could possibly throw to I would not go past 4 years with Philip Forsberg. And, again, I could be totally wrong here. I have no idea what negotiations are looking like. But to me, like I said this earlier today on Twitter, I think if you think Philip Forsberg signing anything less than an 8-year deal here with the Predators, I think you're living in fantasy land. Like I don't think that makes any sense for him.
I agree. I mean, if you're not giving him the full 8, that could be a sticking point as well. Where the Predators,
I mean,
are like, look,
somebody's giving him 7, right?
Like, no, for sure. But yeah. Right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if first of all, you can't make one deal based on other deals, good or bad, right? You can't be like, well, we drafted this kid from Sikkimus, British Columbia, and so therefore we're going to give this other kid from Sikkimus, British Columbia a 3-year deal. That doesn't make any sense. It sounds stupid. Well, it's the same type of principle. If Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, if you gave them $8 million contracts, you can't be like, well, you know, that's starting to work out now, so let's give him an $8 million contract. First of all, it's a different time. Second of all, he's a different type of player, and you just can't do that. So for me, a no-move clause, again, as we talked about earlier, is absolutely given to me. I don't think they shouldn't even fight that battle, to be honest. Just give it to them. And then the second thing is the 8 years. I think the 8 years is a given also. Like, if you're the Predators, do you feel comfortable with that, given his, again, nagging injury? No, but it's a necessary evil.
Well, and I think Poyle kind of hinted at that today in some of his comments. He talked about, you know, when you're dealing with a contract of this size and this magnitude. That's the phrase he used today. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, yeah, well, it's a big contract. I think we all know that. Like, it's going to be an 8-year deal. So I could be wrong about that, but I would be shocked if it's anything less than an 8-year deal. And I think you'll find most Predators fans are probably okay with that, with Philip Forsberg, with the way he's playing this year. I think you will find some that say, man, really? 8-year deals? You got to get out of the business, 8-year deals. And I understand that thought process. I really do, because 8 years is a long time. And if things start to go south, you can get stuck with a contract in a hurry. But eventually, like, if you're David Poile, and he hadn't given him out since, I guess, Roman Josi got the 8-year deal, like, eventually you got to get back into the business of 8-year deals. Otherwise, you're just going to lose guys to free agents.
Well, and that's that same principle, Robbie, is exactly why I think they have to give him a no move, is because if they've done that, they've gotten away with it long enough, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, again, for those who are like, oh, you got to get out of the business of eight-year deals. Okay, fine. Nobody's giving Matt Benning an 8-year deal. Okay. So those kinds of players, no. But there are certain luxuries, if you will, afforded to your best players. And Philip Forsberg is your best player, short of Roman Josi, of course. So what are you going to do? Let put a pause on this for a second. Let's say you lose Philip Forsberg, or you traded him, or, you know, earlier today, or whatever the case is. You lose him. He's not on your team in 2022, 23. Okay? What are you going to be looking for? Another Philip Forsberg. It's stupid.
That's been my argument for trade, like, the people that have wanted to trade him, too. And I get why. I do. I get why. But if you trade Philip Forsberg, you're then going to be constantly on a search for another Philip Forsberg. And look, Gover, you've seen this team can draft a defenseman better than just about any team in the league.
Yes.
We've seen it left and right. They're really good at drafting goaltenders. I think they're getting better at drafting forwards, but they have not been able to draft and develop high-level forwards throughout the history of their entire franchise. It's very difficult to find these guys. And I get it. Like, ultimately, you want to be able to draft someone eventually that's better than Philip Forsberg, but that's really, really hard to do.
And it's especially hard to do if you are going to be a competitive team in the playoffs, right? Because then you're picking 16th, 17th, 18th, whatever it is, maybe even later, hopefully, 30th, 31st, 32nd, right? But, and they thought they'd pulled a rabbit out of the hat with Tolvanen. When they got Tolvanen at 31st overall, right there, or 30th, whatever, whichever one it was late. In Chicago, the draft that we were there for, I mean, it was like, oh, they got this goal scorer that fell, and he slid all the way down because of this and that and this and that. And look at this guy. Then he goes to the KHL and blows it up, and it's, oh, this is wonderful. And he hasn't panned out to be that player yet. He's got the talent to do that, and he's definitely rounded out his game. He looks like a great all complete player all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But he's not the guy you thought he was going to score 40 goals or whatever. Like, he's not that yet. And so you thought you had that, but you're going to be looking for another Philip Forsberg type of player. Not just the production, the type of player.
Yep.
The 60-point guys are not easy to find either, but there's more of them. But to get a guy who's confident with the puck, flipping pucks over guys' heads to kill 5 extra seconds of penalty, I mean, all that crazy stuff.
I mean, that mustache, is a special.
Yes.
Mustache no, just doesn't grow on trees, man.
Hey, the mustache is worth an extra $750,000 to me. It is. You need to, that's the kind of player that you'd be looking for. And you're right. The Predators have very, very much struggled with drafting forwards that can change a game. And you have one on the roster right now in the organization that can do that. And you hope Tomasino can be that. You hope Tolvanen can round into one. You do. But you never trade a known commodity for an unknown commodity, and unless you're forced to. And in this particular case, Philip Forsberg is the known commodity.
Well, and we'll see if the Predators and him can come to a deal. We'll also see if they do. Like, is this year, like, is this version of Philip Forsberg going to be what he is as they move forward? I'm not saying that he's going to have to score 45 every year, which I think he's probably going to do this year. But is this the type of player, the way he plays the game, is this going to be what they get? If so, then I'd be pretty happy with an 8-year deal, even if the last couple could be a little rough based on his age.
I find it very interesting that people are like, oh, well, you know, he might lose it and this and that. Like, you know, this is a contract year. I find it very hard to believe that Philip Forsberg, the type of player that we've seen him be game in and game out for the last 8 seasons here, is a kind of guy who's like, you know what, guys, I got to turn it on. It's my contract year. Next year, I'll slump off. Like, that's ridiculous to me. And for an earlier point that you made, Robbie, is people are going to argue, well, they didn't draft Philip Forsberg. They basically did. The Washington Capitals drafted him 11th overall in 2012. They traded for him, in the next summer. 18.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they essentially, he never played one game of pro hockey in their organization, let alone for the Caps. So, essentially, he's been developed by the Predators. He is a Predators draft pick, in my opinion, even though he's literally not.
No, I agree with that. I mean, when you never set foot on the ice for another team's organization at any level,
yes,
it's a little bit different there.
It is, for sure. So, they're going to end up shopping for a Philip Forsberg type. Just keep him in house. There's gambles, there's risks, I get it. But if you're going to be looking for that kind of player anyway, why not keep the guy, you know?
So, Gover, when are you going to be really nervous, real quickly, as we wrap up the show? If Philip Forsberg is not signed by what time? When is Jeremy Cover really, really nervous?
Now. How about, well, yeah, that's the answer. Yes, it's now. Because the second that 201 hit, I was like, oh, here we go. I'll say June 15th. I don't know. I'm just making up an arbitrary date, but I'll say around that.
All right, Jeremy, we appreciate you taking time to join us tonight. That was a very fun discussion. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Thanks for having me, buddy. I really appreciate it. Good to be back with you.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us tonight here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back in the morning on Robbie and Rextro at 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll continue this discussion on Philip Forsberg and the Nashville Predators. Preds play tonight in Anaheim. Puck drop at 9 o'clock, pregame at 8 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This has been Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.